Sun's Week in All. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off in Kampala, the Ugandan capital, where it's a rest day at the 40th CECAFA Cup football tournament. The competition is for member teams in the Council for East and Central Africa Football Associations, and it's considered the oldest soccer tournament in Africa. Some history now. The tournament began way back in 1926 under the name Gossage Cup, when it was sponsored by the soap manufacturer William Gossage. In 1967, the Gossage Cup gave way to the East and Central African Senior Challenge Cup. And in 1973, the current CECAFA Senior Challenge Cup tournament effectively kicked off. In CECAFA Cup results Wednesday, Djibouti beat Burundi 2-1, and host Uganda advanced to the semifinals with a 2-0 victory against Eritrea.
Sporty greetings. This is Jonathan McKinstry, the head coach of the Uganda men's national team. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thanks.
Thanks, coach. In CECAFA Cup matches Friday in Kampala, Djibouti will play Eritrea and Burundi will meet Somalia. The Harambee Stars of Kenya are the defending CECAFA Cup champions, and they currently top Group B with the maximum 6 points from 2 matches. The Kenyans will be back in action Saturday when they play Zanzibar. Also Saturday, Sudan will take on Tanzania. Elsewhere in African football, the Super Eagles of Nigeria are off to a good start in their qualifying campaign for the 2021 Africa Cup of Nations tournament in Cameroon. The Super Eagles won their first 2 qualifiers and top Group L with the maximum 6 points. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye spoke with the chairman of Nigeria Football Supporters Club, South Africa chapter, Osita Okeke.
As a matter of fact, this is what every supporters would wish for his team. 6 points with 2 matches is an awesome result. And the supporters club, we are very, very happy and we appreciate the performance of the boys so far.
Now, talking about the AFCON tournament proper, from the look of things, it looks like Nigeria has one leg already in Cameroon for AFCON 2021. So, we'd like to know, what are your plans? Do you plan to go support them there? And how do you plan to ensure continuity and support for the Super Eagles?
With the look of things, you've said it right, that we are one leg in Cameroon. All I can say is I am appealing to the boys not to be carried away with the results so far. They should complement what they have already started. And then supporting is not a child's play. Definitely supporters club all over the world would be in Cameroon to cheer up the Super Eagles of Nigeria. By the special grace of God, we'll be there.
Still talking about the Super Eagles, how do the supporters club see the coaching crew and the present team? Are there changes you want to be seen in the team?
So far, so good. You don't change a winning team until you see any errors or whatever. But for now, we don't intend changing any players or the coaching crew. All I am saying is that soccer is a team plan. Once they have their house in order, the sky will be the limit. So I don't advice that we should change anything for the moment.
One last word for Nigerians out there who are listening to you from Johannesburg, South Africa, about the Nigerian Football Supporters Club, South Africa chapter.
We are here to stay and we are here to cheer up our national team, which is not limited to soccer in particular, because we are here to support every team that comes to play in SADC. It's not just limited to South Africa. When we say SADC, it comprises of many countries that are under SADC. So we're here to stay, like I said, and we'll be supporting our national team. In as much as we get early information on any game or participating in any competition, we will endeavor to be there because we need time to mobilize our people in order to cheer up our national team wherever they are playing in SADC.
That's Osita Okeke, the chairman of Nigeria Football Supporters Club, South Africa chapter. And Osita spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Johannesburg, South Africa. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In pro boxing, Ghana's Richard Comey will make the second defense of his IBF World Lightweight title Saturday night when he fights Honduran American Teofimo Lopez at Madison Square Garden in New York. The 32-year-old Comey has a professional record of 29 wins and 2 losses with 26 knockouts. The 22-year-old Lopez is unbeaten, but he has only 14 prize fights with 11 knockouts. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta, says Comey has the advantage in several categories.
He has the experience, he has the power, he has fought better opponents, and in his state of mind is better than Teofimo Lopez. Teofimo Lopez has issues with his mama, his papa, his whole family, you know. If he comes into the ring with those behind him, with that baggage with him, he's going to get knocked out, and that's what I expect. Homeboy from Ghana is ready, his head is there, his mentality in place, and he's a smart fighter, bro. He can read the fighter, he can read the scene. This is what Africa needs right now since the days of Aikwete and Azuma Nelson. He will deliver the victory for us, and then we look forward to the big 2020 matchup for the pound-for-pound title with Vasyl Lomachenko.
Nnamdi, New York City, the Big Apple, one of the major metropolitan areas in the USA. You think the Ghanaian community in New York will be coming out on December 14th?
I bet you one thing, they will come out, not only come out, they will come out with a flag and they will come out with their drums, Sonny, because you count their number one boxing fans in Africa and they show up. And I expect to see them there Saturday night and they will support their man and they will support him all the way to victory Saturday night, Sonny.
Thanks, Nnamdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moueta. Our big boxing story this week was Anthony Joshua reclaiming his world heavyweight title belts in Saudi Arabia. AJ scored a 12-round unanimous decision victory against Andy Ruiz Jr. in their rematch. My VOA colleague Jim Stevenson looks back on Joshua's big win now, and Jim also has other sports news. But AJ throws the opening verbal jab in Jim's spicy sports package.
Tonight was just about winning and trusting my process.
Following the process led British boxer Anthony Joshua to reclaim the WBA, IBO, WBO, and IBF heavyweight belts and avenge a stunning upset by his Mexican-American opponent, Andy Ruiz Jr., 6 months ago.
Maybe I could have done more at times, but sometimes simplicity is genius. And that was the motto, is keep it simple because it's going to lead to a genius performance.
Joshua's performance was a lopsided 12-round unanimous decision in Saudi Arabia. Ruiz failed to match his winning performance earlier in the year.
If I would have let my hands go just like I did on June 1st, I think I would have won. I would have won this fight.
It was all back to basics for Joshua.
And I just took it back to the old school, 70s style. Boxing sweet science, hit and don't get hit. That's the name of the game.
Ruiz ate and partied after defeating Joshua in June and did not stick to his same training regimen.
I was slimmer, I put on the weight, and it was my mistake, you know. And, you know, I think I felt too confident and all that, but I think I should have trained harder. I should have did and listened to my team and to my coaches, and we did the best we can.
Joshua was methodical in his approach.
I took my loss. I took it like a man. I understood where I went wrong, and I keep on comparing it to an exam. When you take your exam, if you fail the first time, you study and you prepare better the next time. And I just knew with all of my preparation, my education, and discipline, I just knew I was going to pass this exam against Andy.
Ruiz wants a rematch.
Look at me. I came a long way. You know, a lot of roller coasters, a lot of ups and downs. And this is one of my ups and downs that I could tell my story. And I just can't wait for the next fight. You know, he won one. I won one. So let's do the trilogy.
Joshua is ready to fight as well, but will enjoy his title belts for now.
The belts spent some time with me. The belts have spent some time with Andy. And I think the belts realized that they want to be around my waist, so they came home tonight. And as I always say, I'm only champion until the next time I go out, because champions don't live forever.
From Taiwan, Woody Chai Masu!
A men's welterweight boxing superstar from Thailand scored a gold medal at the 30th Southeast Asian Games in the Philippines.
By a unanimous decision, and receiving a men's welterweight gold medal from the blue corner, Thailand, Puttichai Maso.
And two more Thai boxers had the golden gloves in the men's and women's bantamweight categories.
From the red corner,
the Southeast Asian Games are coming to a close, with host Philippines firmly ahead in the medals count as of early Wednesday, with 149 gold medals, 117 silver, and 120 bronze. Vietnam was second with 97 gold, 85 silver, and 104 bronze, ahead of Thailand with 92 gold, 103 silver, and 122 bronze. All 11 nations of the Southeast Asian Games Federation are competing in a record 530 events in 56 sports. This edition has featured the first major decentralization in the history of the Southeast Asian Games, with competition venues spread across 23 cities in the Philippines. The U.S. college football playoffs are set, with the top three of the four teams involved boasting undefeated seasons so far. Louisiana State University is ranked number one. The Tigers will play the fourth-ranked Oklahoma Sooners in a semifinal game December 28th at the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Georgia. Both schools are making their first appearance in the national championship playoff format. Ohio State was ranked second, ahead of defending national champion Clemson. Those teams also play December 28th in the Fiesta Bowl in Glendale, Arizona. The semifinal winners will take the field for college football's national championship at the Superdome in New Orleans, Louisiana, January 13th. 38 other postseason bowl games will give fans of 76 colleges and universities plenty of football to enjoy as their seasons come to a close. It's time for golf's biennial President's Cup, the Ryder Cup-style team event between the United States and nations outside of Europe. The heavily favored American team tees off at Royal Melbourne in Australia with Tiger Woods as captain.
Well, I think our strength is that we're a very deep team. The guys have played well this entire year, and you know, we had 11 of the 12 guys play last week, so it was nice for them to shake off some rust, get a feel for things.
Usually team captains are older, non-playing veterans. When he was named U.S. captain, Woods was still dealing with major back surgery, but now will indeed be out playing on the course.
At the time, I was jokingly said I wouldn't be a play captain. I was just getting started with, you know, my comeback, and next thing you know, you know, I've won three tournaments since then, so it was nice to earn a pick from the captain.
Four-time major winner Ernie Els is captain for the international team. The South African was part of the international team's only victory in the 25-year history of the tournament back in 1998.
I've got a great young team. I've got some experienced players. You know, guys are naturally just standing up, guys who are quite comfortable to speak, and I like that. And I like the spirit we have this week.
He says experience will help him guide his players.
You know, I've played under numerous captains, great captains. And, you know, I'm drawing from what I've learned from them. I'm drawing from the players that I played with. in all those years, just giving them what I know.
Woods is expecting to face vocal galleries in Australia.
In general, all the times I have been to Australia and have played here, the fans have been fantastic. They're the most knowledgeable, the most excitable fans. They love their sport. They're going to come out. And it's going to be bipartisan, as it should be. They're going to be rooting for the Nationals more so than they are us. There's nothing wrong with that.
Els is thrilled to again go head-to-head against Woods, this time in a coaching chess match.
A lot of tournaments come through my mind now where I've came close and lost to him. But there was a couple where I got him, you know, here and there. But it's been a real privilege to have played in his era where the game of golf has gone in the last 25 years is just remarkable, and it could not be what it is today if it wasn't for Tiger Woods.
Woods is excited.
We're going to go out there and compete. We're going to enjoy playing one of the greatest golf courses in the world in front of some enthusiastic, incredible fans, and we're going to have a good time doing it.
Els shares the enthusiasm with a goal in mind.
With all that being said and done, you know, we'd like to kick their asses this week yet at home.
It's amazing. I'm over the moon right now. That's all I can say.
It took three playoff holes and a 2-under par eagle for European Tour rookie Rasmus Højgaard of Denmark to claim his first golf victory in just his fifth event, winning the Afrasia Bank Mauritius Open.
I was obviously nervous, but again, I'm in a situation where I don't have anything to lose, so I was confident that I was going to hit some good shots coming in.
Antoine Rosner of France came so close to winning.
It's not easy. And you fight hard for 4 days and you have everything come down to a one playoff hole. And I don't know, I saved some amazing birdies on the first two holes. So I have nothing to regret. I gave my best. And congrats to Rasmus. I mean, he hit some amazing shots coming down the stretch. So, congrats to him.
Italian Renato Paratore also reached the playoffs, but was eliminated on the first hole.
Oh, well, I played really solid. I played really good in the weekend. And then, at the playoff can happen everything. So it's been still a good week.
At 18 years and 271 days old, Højgaard becomes the third youngest winner in European Tour history.
It's cool. I never thought of that. To win so early in my career is amazing, and I'm looking forward to the next challenge.
Looking forward to the next challenge. That's Danish golfer Rasmus Højgaard. And thanks to my VOA colleague Jim Stevenson for that spicy sports package. I encourage our Voice of America listeners to check out Jim's weekly Game Room podcast via voanews.com. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Here in the United States, a high school runner was recently disqualified from a race because she wore a hijab. VOA's Mohammed Jafar Khan visited the young runner in her home state of Ohio and filed this report.
Growing up in the outskirts of Toledo, Ohio, 16-year-old cross-country runner Noor Alexandria Bukaram had been living a normal American teenager life. But on October 19th, after finishing a 5K run, she noticed something unusual.
I ran my best race at the time, and I finished the race, and I went to go find my individual score, and my name wasn't up there. So I went to the girls on my team that hadn't been racing, and I was like, you guys, my name's not up there. And they said, you've been disqualified. I was like, for what? And then they like looked at me, and they weren't laughing. They were like, because of your hijab. And at that moment, my heart shattered. Like, I couldn't feel anything anymore. I was like, I was embarrassed. I was super embarrassed. And then I walked away, and, I broke down.
Abu Karam's mother also found the disqualification unsettling.
It was heartbreaking. It was hard. It was a hard moment as a parent to follow in Noor's footsteps and her calmness and her forgiving ways. And, you know, she just loves her team and she accepted it.
The problem, according to the Ohio High School Athletic Association, students can run with religious headgear, but they need a waiver to do so. Abu Karam had been running races for months without submitting one, But this time, official decided to enforce the rule. Her teammates were shocked.
I think the rule should be changed because that's not fair to anyone, and I don't think it should happen to anyone else.
The school has since submitted the waiver, and Abu Karam is free to run with her hijab, but the damage has been done.
They publicly disqualified her. I believe they should have the courage to publicly come out and let her know that they were wrong.
What do you want to be in next 5 or 10 years?
So when I see myself in the future, I see myself playing sports at a collegiate level, whether it's running or playing soccer. I do both.
Abu Karam believes that the incident provided her with a platform to raise her voice and get the rules changed. Olympic bronze medalist and fencer Ibtihaj Muhammad became the first American Olympian to wear a hijab while competing in 2016 Summer Olympics in Rio. Muhammad posted her support to Abu Karam on Instagram soon after the young runner's disqualification. Muhammad Jafar Khan, VI News, Toledo, Ohio.
Sporty greetings. This is Sunday Dare, Minister of Youth and Sports Development, Nigeria. You are listening to the sunny side of sport on the Voice of America.
They're playing basketball. We love that basketball.
In National Basketball Association action Wednesday night, the Milwaukee Bucks beat the visiting New Orleans Pelicans by 15 points. It was Milwaukee's 16th consecutive victory, the longest winning streak in the NBA this season. And the Bucks won without their injured superstar, Giannis Antetokounmpo. The AP's Chuck Freeman reports from Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
The Bucks rolled by the Pelicans 127-112. They did it without MVP Giannis Antetokounmpo, who sat out for the first time this season with a quad injury. But the Bucks never struggled without him. They led by 10, 3.5 minutes into the game, and later used a 15-0 run to build a 23-point first quarter lead. Bucks coach Mike Budenholzer says the team has been able to set the tone early in these games.
Maybe building some cushions in the first half and, you know, maybe not playing our best for two halves, but I think we're going on good, you know, where we're putting offense and defensive back to back to back.
Eric Bledsoe led the scoring with 29. By improving to 22-3, it's their best 25-game start in franchise history. Chuck Freeman, Milwaukee.
Thanks, Chuck. As Chuck mentioned, the Bucks now have a record of 22 wins and 3 losses. That ties them with the Los Angeles Lakers for the NBA's best record. The Lakers won in Florida Wednesday night when they beat the Orlando Magic 96-87. LeBron James had another triple-double for the Lakers, 25 points, 10 assists, and 11 rebounds. Meanwhile, the other NBA team based in Los Angeles, the Los Angeles Clippers, scored an easy victory over the reigning NBA champion Toronto Raptors in Canada. Former Raptors star Kawhi Leonard was honored at the game, as we hear now from the AP's John Letherby in Toronto.
The LA Clippers won their third in a row with a 112-92 win over the Raptors at Scotiabank Arena. It marked the first game back in Toronto for former Raptor Kawhi Leonard, who was given his championship ring and a standing ovation in a pregame ceremony. Leonard led the Clippers in scoring, finishing with 23 points.
It was great. It was a great moment. Yeah, they did a great job putting it together and, you know, having all the players out there that won it with me, standing there and presenting me the ring. It was great.
Former Raptor Lou Williams chipped in. Off the bench, he had 18. Toronto got to within 5 late in the third quarter before the Clippers closed out the stanza on a 12-0 run. The Raptors' Pascal Siakam led all scorers with 24 points. John Letherby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. Finally, the NBA's leading scorer, James Harden, had another explosive night for the Houston Rockets. Harden fired in 55 points as the Rockets scored a 116-110 road victory against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Harden is averaging almost 39 points a game this season for the Rockets. Explosive James Harden! And that wraps up the December 12th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Patrick Dea. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.
I get it.
Hello, Africa. I'm James Batty, host of your breakfast show, Daybreak Africa. As always, our newsroom is on top of the news of your interest. We provide you with up-to-the-minute news about Africa as well as world news. Tune in to our show right here on VOA Africa, your trusted source of news and information.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga, host of VOA's Reporters Roundtable. Join us every Thursday as we discuss important African topics and events. I'll have a panel of African journalists and expert guests to discuss the topic at hand. We take a deeper look at important African news topics. That's Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA's Our Voices television program is about more than just sitting and talking about women's issues. It's about listening to them and bringing their opinions to the table and making sure that their voices are heard. Because our lived experiences, our stories, and our voices will help shape the next generation.
Check your local TV listings and join the conversation each week with Our Voices on VOA.
It's summertime in the Southern Hemisphere, but if you're north of the equator, border crossings will bring you some warmth with our Psychedelic Sunshine Show. You'll hear from the best Californian musicians of the 60s, like Sonny and Cher, the Monkees, and the Beach Boys. Tune into Border Crossings on December 19th for the grooviest songs in the world, only on The Voice of America.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
This is Science in a Minute.
As NASA continues to work toward its goal of returning people to the moon by 2024, the space agency is also looking further into the future with its plans of someday landing humans on Mars. A number of challenges must first be met before people can travel to and actually function on the red planet. Among them is picking the right landing spot. A major consideration in picking a location is that it should offer a ready supply of natural resources, such as water, that would be used for not only human consumption, but also for the generation of energy. A new study from NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory could help in this selection process by providing a map of where water ice, located in as little as 2.5 centimeters below the surface, can be found. Data from NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter and Mars Odyssey Orbiter was used to create the Mars Water Map. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African Beat. African Beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bongo flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African Beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.